Hello, everybody. Dr. Joe Vitale of Hypnotic Gold and MrFire.com, and I am so excited for today's interview that I am beside myself. I'm almost shaking in my chair. You're going to need pencil and paper. If you are driving, you're going to have to be very alert here because we have a lot of information. This is new. This is leading edge. This is breakthrough. We're going to be talking about social network marketing, and all aspects of it. And believe me, I have a front row seat here because I want to learn this and know this and use this more than maybe anybody listening right now. So this is going to be powerful material, informative material, the kind of material you can take to the bank. And I have found a leading genius when it comes to this social network marketing and doing things with Facebook and some of the other ones like Dig, StumbleUpon, Reddit, Mix, and all these that you may never have heard of, and I admit I don't know all of them, and I'm even very skeptical about some of the uses of all of them. But I have found somebody who is truly a genius at doing this. She's a quiet genius. You're not even going to be able to find her because she doesn't want to give out her website. But fortunately, I know where she is. I found her, and I have her on today's call. I want to make sure she's on the call. Are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right. I'm talking to Alicia Wright. And Alicia has extensive IT and tech background experience. She's been with CNE, Certified Novel Engineer, and MCP, Microsoft Certified Professional, as well as a 10-year active beta tester for MS, Adobe, and other leading software companies. Her background and her experience goes really deep into Web 2.0 and social media and community projects. She's got an understanding and a vision about how this works on a very detailed level. In fact, if I let her, she'll confuse the hell out of me. But I'm not going to let that happen because I want to learn how to use this in a internet marketing street smart way. So we're going to be talking about social network marketing, how to get more traffic to your site, how to increase conversion, word of mouth, Facebook, MySpace. And I'm going to be picking her brains, being skeptical from time to time, but always looking for the practical use of all of this, including things you may never have heard of, like some of these things like StumbleUpon, Ustream.tv, of course you know YouTube, I think, Squidoo.com, oh, I can just keep on going. Anyway, I found the source, I found the Holy Grail, I found the guru, it's Alicia Wright. Alicia, thank you for being on here.
Well, thank you for the kind introduction. I'm flattered.
Well, you deserve all of this. I want to make sure people know just how good you are, and I'm going to tell a story of how you helped me. A while back, I started a blog, and I started my blog very skeptically, thinking, who's going to read my blog? Who cares about blogs? They all seemed like they were self-indulgent diaries with nothing really happening. And I started it, and I got interested in doing it, and I caught the bug of sharing myself, sharing my products, sharing my life, and I found that doing a blog was a relationship builder. But I also knew I wanted to drive traffic to my site, and I wasn't sure how to drive traffic to a blog. I can certainly get it to Mr. Fire, and my Mr. Fire site's been up for decades, so it gets a lot of traffic automatically from all the search engines who have found it. And, of course, I keep adding content to the site, which makes it interesting. But the blog, what do I do with the blog? Well, Alicia Wright contacts me because she had been helping Pat O'Brien, and Pat raved about her, so we exchanged a few emails, and she came up with this idea of me writing something about Valentine's Day. And I ended up spontaneously coming up with an idea that was titled Desperate Valentines. And it was something like 15, 16 things that you can do if you're all alone on Valentine's Day. So while the rest of the world was talking about how to buy flowers and candy and go on a date and have a good time, I went contrarian and I said, what if you're all alone? What if you're desperate? What do you do? And so I came up with this to-do list, this little idea list, a little brainstorming list, called it Desperate Valentines. I told Alicia about it. She did her magic, which today I still don't know exactly what she did. Hopefully she'll explain it. And very quickly, that particular post probably had 300 or 400 digs. And she'll have to explain what digs is in a minute. But more importantly, overnight, my blog saw 20,000 new visitors. 20,000. This is on top of what was already going to my blog. Because of what Alicia did, because of that Valentine's post, because it got dug, 20,000 new people went to my blog. Now, I don't know about the rest of you, but that's pretty darn exciting to me. So, Alicia, let's just start there. How did you do that?
Well, that particular effort was finding the right content and then bookmarking it in the right places. And the cool thing about this that makes it real simple for everybody, if you just look at it this way, is to remember that we've been bookmarking for years. We started out by using My Favorites on our browsers. I just, you know, when we find a site we like, a lot of people will, like, click My Favorite
yeah.
so they can remember to go back to it. It's that type concept that started social networking and social bookmarking. So we've done the same thing, you know, fast forward to 2008. We take a post that we like, and I bookmark it on a popular social networking or social site. And what it does is it puts it in front of a vast amount of people all at once. It's sharing data.
So,
and very simply, that effort, if you bookmark strategically for your niche and at the right time and at the right place, then it propels new visitors to your site instantly.
Wow. Well, there's so many levels of questions right there alone. I'm in kindergarten when it comes to social networking and all of what you just explained. So break it down for me. Okay, I understand bookmarking. When I go to a website, I can bookmark it there. And I don't know what those beeps were, but we'll keep going. When I go to a website, I can bookmark it. I know how that works with my Internet Explorer. But you're talking about bookmarking it someplace in particular. Can you give me an example or tell me where you went?
Yes. Okay, for example, what I do, I take the top 30 sites at Alexa.com, which is a traffic ranking site,
mm-hmm.
and, for instance, Google's number one.
Mm-hmm.
Dig is number 30. StumbleUpon is 69. So I make sure that I'm in the top 30 or at least the top 100 sites. And for whatever niche or particular blog or website that I'm trying to help, I help them identify a site in that list that would be appropriate for sharing their data with.
Wow.
And then what I do is I go to the, I teach them the content to write or the recommended content that would work on the different sites because they're all different. Obviously, mm-hmm. a video works on YouTube. A fun story or a top 10 list works great on Dig. Just your blog in general will work great on StumbleUpon. So you identify the correct type site for your niche, and then you make the data on your site appropriate for the bookmark you're trying to create. And then the rest is just people. That's the power of the people. Word
meaning,
of mouth.
Meaning the people pick it up and they start distributing it virally, word of mouth, that type of thing?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, let's back up here. I know when you encouraged me to write a blog post, you knew that a holiday was coming up. And in this particular case, it was Valentine's Day. And so a week or two in advance, you suggested that I write something tied to the holiday. So, first of all, is that a good rule of thumb? In other words, whatever July 4th is coming up, whatever the holiday, Christmas is coming up, maybe it's an unusual holiday, maybe it's St. Patrick's Day. Is that where we begin by just kind of looking ahead to see what's going to be talked about in the news?
Yes. And this applies across the board. I think anybody in marketing, the first thing they should do is take out a calendar and circle all of the dates for the entire year that are important. And there's two reasons for this. Naturally, people are going to search for those search words more in the search engines,
mm-hmm.
and it's going to be more appropriate to what's going on that particular week. So, for instance, if the Olympics are coming up, it'd be a great idea to write a post about the Olympics. If Mother's Day is coming up, it'd be a great idea to write a post about appreciate your mother. Then you're going to get found in the search engines. You're going to rank very high your blog post is anyway, simply because of, you know, your blog post is about something that's being relevantly searched that particular time period. So that helps your bookmarking efforts by identifying on a calendar all the major days that you could use to write about. And it's the same thing Hallmark does with their cards and Walmart does with their displays. It's just doing what they do online.
I love that. Well, that's traditional publicity, really. A good publicist is always thinking about how do I tie what I do, not necessarily even on the Internet, but how do I tie what I do to a upcoming news event, meaning a holiday, a special occasion, something we know people are going to be talking about. So you're putting it online, and you're suggesting that I write something from my blog, I write something from my website, tying it to what I know is going to be talked about in the next weeks or months or something like that.
So, exactly.
Okay, so that's a great first step there. But how do I know or how do I even find those sites? I mean, even if I go to Alexa and I see that there's 30 different websites that are very top-ranked, how do I get them to bookmark what I've just created. I'm missing something in my thought process here.
Okay, well, it is a process. It's not something that you can just instantly do, and I think that's the number one mistake that most marketers make is they go out and they just try to instantly use the sites without doing some research. So I think it's very important up front for you to research the sites that you're interested in distributing your content on or having your readers distribute your content on. And then the key is to make it easy for your readers, who are usually pretty savvy. I mean, as days go on, people are getting more and more savvy about what Dig is and what StumbleUpon is, and they enjoy sharing your information. I mean, how many times have you gotten an email or heard a story and you call up Pat or someone and you want to share it with them?
Right.
A lot of it.
Right.
It's the same concept. Let's say your blog readers read a post and they're like, oh, my gosh, I want to tell this to my friend. Well, a few years ago, the way to share it was to email it to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now the way to share it is to bookmark it. And a lot of friends share bookmarks. So it's the same concept, except these sites like Facebook and Dig and StumbleUpon have become aggregators for people's favorite topics.
Okay.
And so all you're basically doing is providing data that people can share.
So let's break that down even more. You mentioned, for example, Dig, D-I-G-G, I believe is how it's spelled. But I know there's going to be hypnotic gold members that don't know what that is. So can you define Dig and explain why it's even at all important? What is Dig?
Okay. Dig was started by Kevin Rose and Jay Adelson, two geniuses, just a few years ago, believe it or not. And they have become a leading news source online. And what happens is that every day people submit stories to Dig that they find interesting, and they're voted up or down by the community. And if it's popular, it can drive an immense amount of traffic to your site. I've seen it drive as much as 400,000 hits in 3 hours.
Wow.
Unique hits.
That's amazing. Well, how does somebody dig a story? First of all, do they just go to dig.com to see what this is all about? Is it digg.com?
Yes, and then what I would recommend doing is I would, if your niche is, let's say, self-help, I would go to search on Dig and enter self-help and see what kind of articles are doing well. Look at the ones that have the most digs, and then that gives you an insight as to what works on Dig. And then I would, you know, read them and see what kind of content it is and see if your content's like that. And if it is, or you can tailor it, you know, like a top 10 list, I know they do very well on Dig.
Mm-hmm.
And just like your post on Valentine's, it was a favorite because it was a different take on Valentine's. There was so much mush and love stuff that was on there that day that yours was one of the few posts that told, well, what do you do if you don't have that?
Mm.
And people really liked it. So
well,
I think
it's
just using your creativity.
And you mentioned top 10 lists, and I want to point out, too, that that's a traditional publicity technique to use, and I've talked about it just for getting traffic to a website, not necessarily a blog, and even before Dig came around, write a top 10 list, which could be like David Letterman, the top 10 jokes of some sort, and it could be practical, the top 10 ways to save money on your taxes, but it's tied to whatever the person's expertise is. For example, if I wanted to promote I've rewritten the Attractor Factor, and it'll be coming out soon as a revised, expanded book. So if I wanted to write about the law of attraction to help create some traffic and purchases for the Attractor Factor, I might write a top 10 ways to engage the law of attraction or the top 10 funny ways the law of attraction has been used. Am I on the right track with that?
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
All right.
The key is that I really think helps you is if you do just a little bit of research beforehand or have someone in your office do some research for you and find out what has done well. Also find out what has already been posted because you don't want to post something that's a duplicate. Dig is one of the communities online that you really have to be pretty savvy to post on. So for instance, you don't want to put a picture on there that was on there 2 days ago. So the best thing to do before you do a post is just to make sure that, you know, do a little research. Take a moment and do some research. But it's amazing, you know, a video the other day was posted on Dig. This is a classic example. It had 9 million viewers in 2 days.
What in the world was the video?
Well, this particular video was a Matt Damon and a Jimmy Kimmel video. So it was mm-hmm. not necessarily safe for work video, but it still had 9 million views off of being posted. You know, so, I mean, it's amazing what people sharing data, you know, the power of it, how far and the reach of it is just amazing to me. I mean, that's why I do this. I love it.
I can see why, and I'm loving that you're talking to us about it and breaking this down so we can do it. How do you get anybody to dig your article? So in other words, when I post things on my blog, there's a dig button there where somebody can click on it, and they can go and dig my article, meaning that they're going to, I guess, endorse it and get it listed on Dig. How do you get people to do that? Is there a ways or a means or a secret?
Well, I think two things. I think it's very important to have a conversation with your readers and say, I'd like to get the word out to my, you know, to even more people, and you can help me by doing that. Make them part of the process and educate them in case they don't know. So we're going to be adding some new buttons to our site. One of them is dig.com. And just tell them. It's a site that, you know, I'd love for you to go and vote up my content there if you like this post. You know how a lot of people, and I've noticed on your blog, you say if you enjoyed this post, buy me a cup of coffee. Kind of the same kind of conversation. Mm. If you teach your readers to do what you want them to do, they'll do it.
So I have to educate them. But
yes.
It's just a blog post. It's not a big deal. I just tell them what I'm asked. Like, for example, I'm starting, you may not even know about this yet, Alicia, because I've started something to help end homelessness in this country, and it's called Operation Yes. And I have one little video that's on my blog, and it's already had 70-some digs, so people are liking it. Without me encouraging them, they are digging it. But when most of my people that go to my blog, I don't think they know how to dig. I think there's a dig button there, and I don't think they know what it is. And you're suggesting I need to tell them and tell them why it's there and how to use it and what it's for.
Exactly. Just, you know, something as simple as saying, if you liked this blog post, why don't you share it with a friend by, you know, digging it. And there's a dig button on the site now. Just write them a short little paragraph about what Dig is and how you're using it. And I think they'll appreciate it, because a lot of people that read your blog in particular are interested in marketing ideas, and this will help them market their blogs as well.
Well, you know, we're talking about marketing here, but I know that somebody listening has probably got the thought, even though 9 million people go look at a video, or even though I got 20,000 new visitors to my Valentine's post, does any of that convert to actual, you know, sales or money? Or do we worry about that at all when we're just trying to drive traffic? Are we just trying to create a relationship? Are we just trying to get popular, just trying to get noticed? Or is there a secret to maybe even embedding a product within whatever it is that we just got posted and we just got dug? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, okay, it goes back to, I think there's a new trend. And I think the trend is Web 2.0, social media, social marketing. And I think people in general don't like being sold to. They don't like the spammy calls. They don't like the spammy emails. They would much rather participate in a conversation. And just like you or I, we're going to act on a friend's recommendation or a referral from a friend a lot more than we are just something that's shown to us on TV.
Mm.
So if we participate in, you know, if we talk to people, mm-hmm. our fans, our volunteers, our customers, other bloggers, influencers of our own, if we talk to them, and then we give them a reason to talk about ourselves, and then we have the tools in which to spread that message, then it's one big conversation. And then the key is to track that conversation and find out how it's working or not working for you. But it's the same thing that you do now. You find out what ads work or what
mm-hmm.
copy works, except this time conversation is what you're tracking.
So with my Valentine's post, and I got 20,000 people coming to visit, I don't know that I looked at it beyond that to see if it actually meant anything or if I tried to do anything to sell anything. For example, what should I have done differently, if anything, to make that more profitable for me? You know, 20,000 new visitors is wonderful, but they didn't all stay. I don't have 20,000 new ones that are there every day because of that post. Am I missing anything in here, or is this just part of the process of doing the social network marketing?
It's part of the process, but also one thing that I would recommend doing is that everybody should be using Google Analytics. And what you should do is you should see how many new RSS subscribers you got.
Mm.
You should see how many, you know, people came the next day. or how many, you know, if your visitors picked up at all? I mean, can you tell me if they've increased at all since then?
Well, I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. But I don't know anything about Google Analytics. I've heard of it. So for those who don't know besides me, where do they get that and what is it?
Okay, you go to google.com and you literally type in the word analytics and it will take you straight to it. It'll take you, there will be a link to Google Analytics and it will take you straight to it. And there is a simple code that you can get either your web person or there's instructions there for you to install it yourself on your blog or your website. There's also a WordPress plugin. If you use WordPress, for instance, there's a WordPress plugin that you can download, again, at wordpress.org. It's free, and it's very, very simple to install. It takes 2 minutes, and it will help you track your return on investment on your blog every day.
Okay, I got to do that.
Yeah, it's great. It's something everyone should be using.
Well, that's a major tip right there. Well, let's keep going here. What are the most popular social sites and why and how should I use them for my business? Why should we even care? I mean, all these popular I hear about things like Facebook, which I finally joined, MySpace and Twitter, and gosh, there's so many of them, it's driving me crazy. How do I know what are the most popular ones? Why should I care? How do I use them?
Okay, great. I think it depends on the business. And that, again, is where if you're like a doctor's office, then your social sites are going to be different than the ones if you're, you know, a business. But let's just say if you're just a regular business and you have a product or service that you're interested in the mass amount of people knowing about, or even your particular niche, like self-help, if you want your self-help niche to know about it, then you target the self-help niche on certain sites. So for businesses and like self-help, I would look at the top 30 sites on Alexa.com that you feel your content would be good on. Mm-hmm. And for instance, like at Flickr.com, I would go, that's F-L-I-C-K-R.com, for those that don't know that one, I would go and I would post, like for you, I would take your book images and I would title and tag them like Joe Vitale or MrFire.com and put them in Flickr in a public viewed photo album. That way if anybody does an image search for self-improvement, you're going to come up. I mean, there's all kinds of ways to get really credible backlinks and increase your traffic. And this isn't just, you know, a quick increase. This is a long-term, smart way to use these free sites to get a lot of traffic to your website or blog.
No,
another social site.
I never even heard of Flickr before. F-L-I-C-K-R?
Oh, yes. It is a great site.
Really?
Absolutely great, yes.
Okay, that's another one to put on my list. Flickr.com. All right, go ahead.
Okay, so like for instance with Flickr, it's an image site. For you, I would find all the author groups and all of the self-help groups on Flickr, and I would go upload or, you know, have your VA upload pictures again of your books. And you with a picture of your book. That way, a group of 10,000 people have all of a sudden seen a picture of you and your book. And it takes 2 minutes to do this. I mean, this is something that's very, very simple to do. This is not hard to upload a photo. And the key thing is that rather than just searching for terms, people are, you know, searching for a lot more specific terms now. So, for instance, they'll search for a video on self-help or they'll search for an image for self-help. And if you're on video and in images and in text as well, you're going to be inundated on Google, which is a good thing for you.
And this is all done on Flickr? I can do
Flickr is for the images. YouTube would be for the videos.
Okay.
And then for your content, I would recommend Dig and StumbleUpon, Reddit, Mix, Propeller. Those would be the ones that I would target.
All right. Now, you just said a few more names that I don't know, so I'm sure the hypnotic gold members aren't going to know all of them. Mix, and you said one other one, Rever?
Reddit, it's reddit.com.
And Mix.com,
and it's M-I-X-X.
And what are those two?
They are both like Dig. They're just not as highly trafficked as Dig. And Mix.com is a lot, I would say, friendlier than Dig.
Okay.
If that makes sense. It's on Dig, there's a lot of tech users. And they're very, very tech savvy. Mm-hmm. And so it's a harder crowd to market to. Mm-hmm. Mix is more of a community of everybody. And so it's a great place to put your content. And Reddit is kind of in between the two, if that makes sense.
Okay. What about StumbleUpon? Pat turned me on to it, so I've had fun playing with StumbleUpon. But you might want to describe what it is and why it's useful.
StumbleUpon is incredible. It's one of my favorite sites, and it is the one that gets you just an immense amount of long-term traffic. Dig will get you quick, instant traffic with very low page time and not great conversion. StumbleUpon gets over 2 minutes of page time each and has great conversion. And it's a site that 10 weeks from now, a bookmark that was made today will still be popular. So it's an excellent resource for everybody to use.
Now, StumbleUpon, I'll just ad-lib my own definition of it from a user's, consumer's fun perspective. You go to StumbleUpon.com. I think you join it, tell it what your interests are, and then you just stumble upon websites. It will randomly bring up websites that supposedly are relevant to what you said your interests are, and you vote on whether it was actually useful to you by saying, I like it, or you say, I don't like it. StumbleUpon memorizes that in an artificial intelligence sort of way and does its best to only allow the next websites to be more relevant to you, so you keep stumbling upon them. So from the consumer, playful, visitor, browser aspect, it's a very fun, insightful, even surprising tool to use. But from the other side, from the marketing standpoint, you're saying that if a website is actually listed in there, you're being stumbled upon by all these visitors who may never have seen it before.
Exactly. And the great part about it is if you use all these tools in connection with each other, if you sit down and you make a social media plan, which I encourage everyone to do, then you build upon the efforts that you're making at each site. For instance, if you dig something and then stumble it, then it gets traffic and long-term visits. And then you can literally take a single post, like your Valentine's post.
Yeah.
I took it and I placed it on Dig first, and then I stumbled it. And then I shared it on Facebook. So it went three places in less than 5 minutes, and it got you 20,000 new visitors to your site.
I love it. Is there, when you say to create a social networking marketing plan, I think that was the phrase you used, is there any model for something like that? Is there a website that gives us like a step-by-step, or do you have one, or is there a book that kind of holds our hands? Is there social networking marketing for dummies out there of some sort?
Well, I can certainly make you a list. I don't think there's a definitive guidebook. I mean, there's certainly books on the different sites, like there's a Facebook book and there's StumbleUpon book, and so I mean you can of course get the dummies guides to all of those, they've got them, but there's not a book that has all of them, but I can certainly write a little PDF for you on everything that we've gone over today, and you can share it with everybody if you'd like.
Oh my goodness, if you do that would be golden. Jeez, wow. Well, if I will politely request that happen, because that's wonderful. Thank you. Let me
I'll
ask
put
you
all the links in there.
You are fantastic. What a gem. Well, I've got to ask you a couple other questions. I have been cornered into joining Facebook and then Twitter. And I did it reluctantly because this is, again, me not understanding the value of Facebook and MySpace and Twitter and all these other ones. I go to Facebook.com, I join it, and there's like 40 people waiting for me. It's almost like they knew I was going to show up. I sign in, and there's 40 people who want to be my friends. Now, of course, I okay that, and more people are okaying being my friend and their friends and this, that, and the other. I still don't get it. Why is Facebook so important and so valuable? And you may have answered it by saying, we don't trust the traditional advertising. We trust other people. Here's a way for people to socialize. And I certainly don't understand Twitter, which is a way for people to find out what I'm doing and me to find out what they're doing at any particular time. They kind of stalk me in a polite, agreed-upon way. So what am I missing here with Facebook and Twitter?
Well, there's definitely stalkers on both, so you want to avoid those.
Yes.
Like in any business, there are some crazies out there, and there are definitely some crazies on both sites. So you want to be a little selective about who you choose as your friends. I think that's the best advice I can give you right up front.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know them or you don't have a significant number of mutual friends,
mm-hmm.
you might just want to be a little careful. Now, if somebody writes you a message, which I try to teach everybody to do, when they ask for you to add them as a friend,
mm-hmm.
it's very important to jot them a little note and say, here's why I'd like to connect with you.
Mm.
Just, you know, simple business etiquette of like, hi, I see that you're in a similar niche and I think we could share ideas. Something just simple like that. And then people are very responsive to that and they'll add you. And it's a very simple way in a short amount of time to get to know people all over the world. I mean, since I started Facebook, I have people that are friends in the UN. I have friends in 30-plus countries. Where else in the world would you have an opportunity like that if you didn't have the Internet?
Well, that is true. The Internet is, well, it's changed my life, of course, and has for the last 20-some years, and it keeps changing with things like Facebook. So Facebook is a way for me to meet other people, and all these other people are creating relationships with me, and they have their own relationships. So my name, my work, gets spilled out through this domino effect, I guess. But within it, there's a lot of plugins, and what I'm curious about is Twitter. What's your take on Twitter? Is that, you know, a useful, valuable, should we be doing Twitter?
Oh, yes. Now, I use Twitter for different things than probably you would.
Mm-hmm.
But I use it to find out about, like, blog posts that I could submit since I'm a heavy social media user.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, Guy Kawasaki and Seth Godin and yourself and TechCrunch and a lot of the top 100 blogs, they all post on there as soon as they make a new post to their blog. So since I'm a social media user, it helps me find good content to post. For instance, mm-hmm. if you post, then there's a lot of people out there like myself that are looking for content to submit to these sites daily. Yours will get picked up and posted.
Now, I want to make sure I understand. I'm on Twitter now, and in fact,
mm-hmm.
I think if people look at my blog, I now have a live Twitter feed on the left column of my blog that tells people what I'm doing based on the last thing I posted to Twitter. And it may say something like now, right now, that I'm interviewing an expert on social media and social networking and stuff like that for my Hypnotic Gold. But I've seen people post things on Twitter that says I'm having a cup of coffee or I'm going for a walk or, boy, I'm doing the dishes now. I mean, is that the right thing to post or does it matter? I'm still trying to figure this out. Help me here, Alicia.
Well, okay, Twitter is microblogging, whereas a blog post is usually full of relevant content for a particular subject.
Mm-hmm.
Twitter breaks it down, and there are people that get up and they literally microblog every aspect of their day. They don't
yeah.
do the next thing without Twittering it. I personally do not use it that way, and I don't know many that do, but you will have some people that end up getting in your group or that you follow or that might follow you that do that kind of thing. And if you watch the public Twitter blog that is like a blog of everybody,
mm-hmm.
it's amazing what people will post on Twitter. But I'll give you a recent example. The Academy Awards came on. It was like watching it with 100 friends because everybody was Twittering about the, you know, what they thought about the Academy Awards. So it's a way that you can, again, let people find out about you.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, one of the things that I've seen Seth Godin do, for instance, he'll Twitter, you know, I'm going to be speaking XXX. Well,
yeah.
then people may see that and be intrigued and go find, you know, go to his blog to find out, hey, what's he speaking on? So it's a way of, it's a free way to get the word out about you. I mean, if people keep seeing, especially with you, with your clever titles, I mean,
mm-hmm.
if you do some really clever little Twitter posts, people
mm-hmm.
will come to your blog to see what it's all about. So it's a free way to get more traffic.
Okay.
So, yes, you should be using it.
Okay.
Definitely.
Well, it's fun to use. I have to admit that. And I've done silly things like saying I'm going to go in the hot tub now. But I've also posted things like I'm working on an email to announce my new SMS service. And I know when I did that, it was just kind of a test. But the next day, somebody had emailed me saying, hey, I'm interested in the MSS. When's it going to be released? And I thought, wow, that's interesting. So, you know, people are paying attention to Twitter. Another day I posted, I'm about to go have lunch at Cedar Grove Steakhouse in Wimberley. If you're available, come and join me. And anything could have happened. I could have sat there and had 100 people show up. But as it turned out, nobody showed up. And that would be partly because, first of all, I only gave them an hour notice. And second of all, I had just been on Twitter, so there's not that many people following me. But I can see where, from a marketing standpoint, doing it the way Seth Godin did by saying, hey, I'm preparing to speak at such and such, or I just made flight arrangements because I'm doing a seminar on Attract Wealth in Atlanta, that would, for those who are following me on Twitter, get them curious, and it may get them to go check out that website.
Exactly. And I've seen people do things like, does your back hurt? You know, just simple things like that. They'll just put something to intrigue people. And if it's somebody that is, you know, intrigued by that comment, they'll come check out, they'll click on the link and check it out. The thing I think people have to understand, even if you aren't or they aren't currently using these sites, there is millions of people that are. And you should take advantage of it. You should take advantage of it in every way you can because it's free.
I love it. Well, this leads to a couple questions here, and I hope you don't mind if we keep going because you're just so fascinating and you've got so much information. And it's just astonishing. I heard of something called docstock.com, I think it is, www.docstock.com. I have no idea what that is, but I understand that you feel it's a way to market business products and services. Can you explain that, and did I get the website right?
Yes, you did. It is a new site that was one of the TechCrunch 40 finalists that I discovered through just being online, and I absolutely love it. It is a place where you can upload your documents or a sample chapter of your ebook or your press release or whatever information you would like to share with anybody out there. They get over 1 million uniques a month, even though they're a brand new site.
Wow.
So they have a vast amount of exposure to a vast amount of people. So that's one thing. You can link your blog inside your profile, which I love. So, for instance, when you create a free account at docstock.com, there's a profile there, and you fill it out with, like, your name and your website address. It's one of the few places I know where you can actually link with a picture, even, of your blog inside there. And so when people go and or if they search, for instance, for self-help, it will come. Your documents will show up in Google very high because of their PageRank. So particularly if you're a new business and your blog has no PageRank and it's not being found on the first page of Google, it's good to use a site like DocStock or, you know, any of the ones that we've talked about already to show up on the first page of Google. That's a simple way of putting it. And so for keywords that would otherwise be typically hard for you to rank very well for, a site like DocStock is a godsend. So by simply going there and creating a free profile, uploading a press release or a few documents that you'd like to share with people, like a sample chapter of your book or you know, a small article or something like that, you can get ranked on the first page of Google very high, like usually in the top five on the first page for those keywords. And that's not something that's very easy to do for a new blog.
I'm stunned. I've never heard of this. This sounds fantastic. Is it free, too? Is this open to anybody?
And guess what else is great? If you have limited bandwidth with your hosting, and I don't mean to get too technical here, but I know that sometimes you have to pay for your bandwidth, especially on digital downloads. That can get quite expensive. It's free. If your document is stored at DocStock, you can even mark it private so that it's only available via a link that you send out. So that, for instance, you know, not just anybody in the public can go there and find it. If it's a special link that you only want to share with your list, you mark it private. But DocStock will handle all the bandwidth and let you download it to your list for free. So it saves you money, too.
That's worth the entire call, all of this. He's given so much information, but that one alone, I'm just jaw-dropped and impressed. As soon as I'm off this, I'm going to be going to DocStock.com and filling out my profile and doing all of this. Listen, I got to ask you a question. How do you keep up with all of this? I mean, do you have a internet connection just you know, right in your vein or something. I've got Blackberries, I've got laptops, I've got computers, but geez, I have to go get sunlight sooner or later, and you know, hot tub and work out and eat and have a life. How do you keep up with all of this?
Well, you know, it's really the same techniques that you use now. For instance,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure in your marketing efforts, you know how newspaper works for you, how radio works for you, how TV ads work for you. It's the same thing, except it's websites.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Yep, yep.
So what I do, it does take coming up with a system,
mm-hmm.
which I think everyone must do. You have to come up with a system, and you have to make this so you spend the least amount of time with these efforts as possible, because
mm-hmm.
if you spend hours doing it, it's not productive and it's not cost effective.
Exactly.
So you do your research up front, you come up with a social media plan, and you follow it and stick to it. And I literally have gotten it down to where a business or even myself can use all of the sites that I've mentioned effectively in less than 2 hours a day.
Wow. And they can even hire somebody to do that if they didn't want to do it themselves.
Oh,
correct?
I recommend you hire somebody to do it. I mean, you can get a VA now, for which is a virtual assistant,
mm-hmm.
for $900 a month, for and they'll work for you 40 hours a week for
mm-hmm.
$900 a month.
So where do you find that kind of VA? Do you have a recommendation?
Well, I have a whole list. I will include that in the list of links for you.
You are amazing. Thank you for doing all of this. I'm not going to let you go just yet. I got a few more questions for you.
Okay.
Are there, like, the top five sites that I or anybody listening should have a presence on? And I know you'll make a list, but, you know, is there a top two, three, four, five, something we should be really jumping on besides DocStock.com?
Yes, Facebook. Facebook and LinkedIn. For business professionals, you cannot have too great a resources right now. So what I would do is, if you are not on those, sit down and create a profile, just like you would if you were going to create a press release,
mm-hmm.
create a profile on a piece of paper for you or your virtual assistant, whoever's going to be doing it,
mm-hmm.
and then go to these sites that I'm about to give you and use the information from that one sheet you just created and put it on all of them in the profile area. And it's very simple if you just sit down and just do it. You can do it in 30 minutes, all five of these. Facebook.com would be the first one.
Mm-hmm.
LinkedIn.com would be the second one. I would create a profile on Dig.
Hmm.
I would create a profile on Flickr, and then I would create a profile on StumbleUpon. Those would be, if you had to narrow me down to five, those would
okay.
be the five that I would use. And then, of course, DocStock.
And DocStock, okay.
Yeah.
Well, five and a bonus. That's pretty good right there. I love it. Well, I guess, you know, there's so many other things I can be talking to you about. When it comes to filling out a profile, are there any hints on doing that? Because I know when I opened Facebook, I just answered some basic questions here, but there were some other things like my interest, what books I read, what were my favorite movies. Were those, and this might be a dumb question, but were those opportunities for me to answer in a way that might have brought more traffic to my listing on Facebook? I mean, are there some
yes.
secrets to filling out a profile, I guess is what I'm asking.
Yes, there is. For instance, if you, in every effort that you make online, if you're just very strategic like you are in any marketing effort,
mm-hmm.
think of it as just that, a marketing effort. So when you go to your profile, you
mm-hmm.
have to fill it out for the group that you're trying to reach. So,
mm-hmm.
for instance, an interest, you should tag it with the appropriate tags, meaning put the words in there, like self-help, law of attraction, attractor
yeah.
factor, hypnotic marketing, you know, any words that people use now to find you.
Mm-hmm.
On your other website, you should put in there in your interest so that if people search on Facebook by those terms, they find you.
Got it. That's a major tip in itself. Well, you know, a lot of the people with Hypnotic Gold are actually authors, and I wanted to see if you can give us a couple, 2-3 minutes of advice on doing, you know, using some of these sites and social media to market a book. Do you have a couple quick tips on that besides just getting listed on Amazon?
Sure. Like, if, let's say you were coming out with a new book tomorrow
mm-hmm.
or a month from now. What I would tell you to do is to get the image and your Amazon affiliate link, of course,
mm-hmm.
and have the image and the Amazon affiliate link handy, and I would go to, like, Facebook, and I would utilize some of the applications there, such as, like, Visual Bookshelf or Goodreads. Facebook has applications within within it that you can use to help make your profile more appropriate for who you want to share it with. So, for instance, if you're an author, you can have a bookshelf in there from Goodreads or from Shelfari, you know, some of the popular book sites where people share their favorite book interest. And you can also have an Amazon, which I love, link in there as well. And so it's a direct link to the book, you know, that you're about to promote. And the great part is that they make it very easy, just literally a click of a button by, like, share. There's a button called Share on Facebook that I'll include in this list how to find that button.
Okay.
But you click on that button, Share on Facebook, and it immediately posts it to your profile so that everybody that comes to your profile sees that you now have this book posted there. But guess what's even better? This is what really excites me. Then it goes into the news feed on Facebook, and everybody sees it. All your friends, everybody.
That that's a good tip right there. That is, I can't wait, because I have my book, Inspired Marketing, which I did with Craig Perrine, comes out on Tuesday, and people will be, they'll know about it by the time they listen to this particular audio. But I want to go use this as one of my marketing steps here. So that's a big one. I know Goodreads.
Well, can I say one more thing about that?
Yeah.
What I typically do, like, for instance, if you're going to be promoting a book, I would do five things. I would immediately share it on Facebook.
Okay.
And then I would stumble it. Mm-hmm. You know, I would stumble the actual Amazon page with your book on it.
Mm-hmm.
Or your blog, whichever one you want to drive traffic to. But I usually do both, like the blog and the Amazon page.
Mm-hmm.
Even if it only gets, like, three other people that stumble it,
yeah,
it's still getting bookmarked in one more place on Google. So that's just one more place that, you know, it shows up.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you can never show up on Google in too many places.
Right.
I mean, it's just impossible. And another thing, if you share that image on Flickr and in some of the user, all of these groups that I've been telling you about today, Facebook and StumbleUpon and Dig, they all have groups within them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's author groups and there's marketing groups and there's Web2O groups. Go and share with the community your ideas, or have your virtual assistant go post your books and so forth in these groups. And if you join the groups that have 10,000 people in them, that's 10,000 more people that just heard you've got a book coming out.
I love it. I love it. So you said there's five things that you would do if you had a book coming out. The first was being listed on Facebook. The second, StumbleUpon. The third, Flickr. What are the next two?
The next two would be to load up a sample chapter to DocStock.
Uh-huh.
And any other site like DocStock that, you know, where you can load up a sample chapter, like Author's Den, that is an incredible old site. Looks awful, but it has great traffic. And you can load your content chapter up there, and it's a consistent top-ranked link for you on Google, which is long-term traffic. The fifth thing I would do is I would, and I'd hate to throw another site in here at the last minute, but for authors in particular, this is a great site to use, Squidoo.com. It's the site that Seth Godin created. I would create a Squidoo lens about your book.
Oh. That is a fantastic list of things, too. So I'm starting to get it, and I'm starting to get more excited here. I still feel a little bit overwhelmed, so it's going to be very helpful to have that list that you are going to create for the Hypnotic Gold folks. And if you wanted to, you know, people are going to want to try to reach you. Do you want to be reached? Do you want to put out a website or just say you're on Facebook, or you just want to remain anonymous?
No, I mean, it's fine. If they want some help, they can reach me through Facebook. How about that?
Okay. All right.
And it's Alicia Wright on Facebook. You can find me through Joe. I'm listed as one of his friends. And just befriend me, you know, and I will help you however I can. I'm also on LinkedIn. I'm on any of the sites that we talked about.
I would imagine you are. That is so amazing.
I'm on Dig.
Well, Alicia, you have been just amazing. You are just a fountain of information. I can just keep talking and talking to you. Are there a couple other things that you want people to remember? I mean, Hypnotic Gold members are online entrepreneurs for the most part. And so I imagine they either have a website up or they're about to have a website up. In many ways, they're overwhelmed. They've heard about putting content on their website. Maybe they have a blog because they've been listening to me talk about how it's finally helped me. They might be selling digital information. And, of course, you've covered a lot of material. I'm just giving you the opportunity to say one or two or three things that you know, be sure to do this above all else. Be sure to do this, or be sure to go to this website. I'm just giving you an open-ended question.
Okay, I think the one thing that I would say is just realize that there really is a new trend. This is not a fad. This is not something that's going to go away. It's here, and it's here to stay, and it's getting even better. And any businesses right now that jump on this and participate in this Web 2.0 social media world are going to benefit immensely from it. Social web is all about conversations with people, and you can't have no better advocate than your customers. And I just think if they get involved in the process, and there's some books that I would like to recommend.
Oh, good. I love books. Tell me.
Yeah, there are two of my absolute favorites. Mm. One of them is it's called – actually, the website. I'll give out the website. It's wordofmouthbook.com,
mm-hmm.
and it's Andy Cernovitz. It's Word of Mouth Marketing, How Smart Companies Get People Talking. And I absolutely believe in his 5 P's of Word of Mouth Marketing, is his principle. It is absolutely fabulous. If you have never read that book, that is one that you should instantly get.
Wordofmouthbook.com.
Yes.
Okay, and what's the other book?
And I'll include that link as well. And then
okay.
Another one that I like is The Wisdom of the Crowds.
Oh, yes, that's a brilliant book.
I love that book. That is a great one. And those two right there, I think, give you a lot of the good principles that you should follow when you're going to start participating in social media.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, I think just if people remember that happy customers are your best advertising.
Yes.
I mean, you can't go wrong.
Right. Keep everybody happy. They'll talk about you. It causes the word-of-mouth marketing to take place. And it's a crowd, wisdom of the crowds. So let me ask you.
Well, even that though, but let me say something about negative publicity. Okay, if somebody says something negative, you can turn that into an opportunity by listening and learning from what people are saying, and it makes you as a company and you as a marketer even better. So I don't think there's a downside to, you know, communicating.
Yeah. So even if there was something negative, you would turn it into a positive. You would write about it. You'd correct it. You'd find some way to share it, so that people would start talking about how you turned it around. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I also forgot to say in the intro, you know, for you, Alicia, that you have been a top social media user on sites such as Dig, StumbleUpon, Reddit, Mix, Facebook, and others. But your past clients have included Planet Hollywood, E! Entertainment, Coca-Cola, the government of Argentina, ABC News, and other various businesses and Fortune 500 sites, including mine. So you are the guru of all of this, and I'm so astonished and so grateful that you've shared so much and so openly and generously with me and all the Hypnotic Gold members. You're just a delight. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Joe. I've gotten a lot out of your books over the years, and you're one of my absolute favorite sites on the Internet.
Oh, you're talking about my blog or Mr. Fire or something else?
All of them, Mr. Fire in general. The blog, the site, everything. I love it. I love your books. Trust me, I'm the first one to buy your books when they're released.
Oh, well, you don't have to do that anymore. Give me your address by email, and I'll send them to you. I'll autograph them and send them to you. I'm just very grateful. Let me ask you something that I'm curious about, and I think Hypnotic Gold members would be curious to hear an answer to. When it comes to my blog, what can I do right now to improve it, my personal blog?
Okay. You want to make it easy for people to find, which means have it bookmarked all over the place.
Okay.
Easy through these steps that I'll share with you more in the future and that I've shared with you today.
Mm-hmm.
But mainly making it to where people can find it. Number two, try to make it where, just like you did with e-marketing effort, it catches their attention right away.
Mm-hmm.
That's very, very important. A headline and good, relevant content that's updated daily. I mean, yours is, of course, but a lot of people, that's, I think, the biggest mistake they make. They have infrequent posts to their blog or to their website. They don't change the content. People aren't going to come back if it's not fresh and updated often. So I'd say update it often.
Mm-hmm.
You want to make it not real, you know, full of ads.
Mm-hmm.
And so you want to real subtle ads like you do. I like your text ads. I think that's a great approach.
Mm-hmm.
You've got a great blog. You really do. And I mean, I think once people find your blog, they end up staying.
Well,
I think.
Yeah. I'm going to re-listen to this entire interview, take notes. Then when you send me the your little cheat sheet list, which I'll share with all the Hypnotic Gold members, I'm going to follow through and act on all of that, and I may get one of my assistants to help me. But I'm going to do all of this because you have thoroughly convinced me and shown me the way to how to use the social media to profit online. So I, for one, am very grateful. Alicia, thank you very much for spending all this time with me. Just can't say how grateful I am. Thank you.
Well, thank you. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed talking with you.
Well, that's another episode of Hypnotic Gold for everybody. This is Joe Vitale, over and out. Godspeed to all of you. I'll see you on the next month with another remarkable interview in the Hypnotic Gold series.